Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So we had several assignments over the weekend. Here was Friday's assignment. Self-hate negates what we are by focusing the attention on what we're not. I'm talked into identifying with what's wrong with me. I'm told that I have to meet standards that fix or change me, that make me better, the way I should be, to be acceptable and lovable. Yet meeting those standards doesn't get me the approval or acceptance or love that I've assumed I will receive if I meet the standards. The whole orientation misses the point. What we're being conned into believing is that our inherent goodness is conditional, that authentic nature is dependent upon performance. So attention is taken away from the perfection of authentic nature and turned to an ego-maintaining, dualistic conversation that causes us to believe our acceptance is conditional. Assignment. Make a recording that allows you to be in touch with the perfection of the true nature that is you. Listen to this recording as a way of training to stay with the realization of true nature rather than falling for the negation of the self-hating conversation. And then on Saturday, as you read over how suffering happens for you, can you get a sense of the karma behind this issue? What beliefs, assumptions, projections, behavior do you consistently choose that result in suffering? Example, the drive to research extensively and gather information stems from a need to feel in control. The underlying belief is that information is essential for well-being. I feel anxious because even if I do the research, I never feel I have enough information. RL, what you see. And then on Sunday, we're conditioned to be a human sacrifice. We're sacrificed to maintain our ego. Assignment. What if you is sacrificed when the karma is chosen? What are you not allowed to see, to feel, to have, to be? RL, what you see. All right, here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? The queue is just refreshing. So, first caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Deanna from Santa Cruz. Can you hear me?
Deanna, I can. Let me bring Sherry live. Hang on 1 second. Sherry, are you live?
Ah, yes. Okay. I was so excited to hear Deanna. I was already launching into conversation with her. Thank you, Ashwini. How's it going? What are you seeing?
Well, I'm delighted to be on and delighted to hear your voices. You know, one thing I'm looking at a lot is loneliness and would love some guidance. I'm used to being super social, and of course I'm not. And I'm just, let's see, my beginnings were to spend a lot of time outside moving, and I'm doing that beautifully, 2 or 3 hours of hiking a day, and that is bringing me...
I bet the body loves that.
The body loves that, and kind of the soul loves that. It just feels like serenity and beauty, and I'm listening to my recorder constantly, you know, just a ton. I'm also just experiencing a lot of loneliness, and it has a new angle to it because, of course, I have no social, but it also has an ancient feel to it, you know, just this kind of existential that I feel like I've had a long time. So I would just love some help in how to companion this loneliness.
Yeah. So the last part of that is the kind of the key, right? Because what I project you're experiencing, I'm pretty darn sure you're experiencing actually in that existential loneliness, is what it feels like to be identified with the ego. So the ego is an illusion of being separate from life. Now, there would be few things more lonely than being separated from what you are, from what animates you are, from what animates you, and then to be stuck out there outside the universe, which is where the ego is. So what you're describing is when you are present, you're in the body, you're hiking, you're in nature, it's beautiful, you're there, right? You are experiencing a degree, I don't know if it's total, but a degree of oneness with life, with what you are, with what animates you, right? And so that's the experience that you're having, is the movement away from, and the way it usually happens, because ego only appears, it's an illusion. So it only appears to exist when you put attention on it. And the way to put attention, the best way for it is if it can make us unhappy. If the conversation that we're attending to causes us to suffer, then we're going to give it the next boon, which is looking to it for a solution.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's, I don't know if you can feel that, but that's a short slide into hell. Okay, because that system is fighting for its survival, right? Which is an illusion. It's imaginary. So if you're gonna be a made up figment of imagination, you better be getting a lot of attention on you all the time, or you're going to disappear, which is the case with ego. So you come back from a hike and you have been with life, with authentic nature, and ego has been left out for an extended period of time. It's really eager to get you back. And so it starts talking to you. There starts a conversation in conditioned mind about being lonely, and you can't see people, and you can't do the things that you used to, okay? And you slide off. So then the question becomes, well, then what do I do? Yeah? Mm-hmm. Which is designed by ego to get us into conditioned mind to solve the problem. But there isn't a problem. All that is required of us is to keep attention on awareness, which is what was happening when you were out hiking. So you continue to put attention where it was, on the heart, on authentic nature, on who you really are. Problem solved. No more loneliness. Because, again, loneliness is an experience of being identified with ego.
Well, that's super, super helpful. And, you know, I had a moment yesterday of kind of wondering that. I mean, there's times like if I'm sad or if I'm angry or if I have different emotions where I go, okay, that's the emotion, and I'm not in a story about the emotion, and then the emotion moves really quickly. But this loneliness is not moving quickly. And so I wondered, is loneliness an emotion, or is it a belief?
Yeah, and actually, Deanna, it's the first... and this will be interesting to look at. It's kind of the first movement into ego identification. Because, again, as soon as we turn attention to mind, to ego, we are not here. We are cut off from, you know, basically we've cut our lifeline. And so that first movement of giving attention to ego has the beginning. Those are the sensations that lead to those emotions. All right. Let us know.
Okay. All right.
All right. You. Thanks, okay. Deanna. Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Deanna. It's such an interesting experience, right, Cherry, that... Well, or a conditioned belief that you're not lonely when you're with other people, but so often you can experience that loneliness in company, and that is, the thing that dropped in when you were saying that is, when I'm here, it's impossible for me not to feel the connection with everything else, right? The interconnectedness is so obvious that loneliness has to be an experience of separation from that.
Yes. Yeah, precisely so.
It's not...
And go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that It is clearly an identification with the ego, because we're just simply conditioned to believe that the absence of the other implies I'm lonely. But I'm always alone, and I'm always connected to everything else, regardless of whether the other is present or not.
Yes, yes, because there's no such thing as other, right?
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. And we've been talking a lot about duality, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what you just pointed to. So I'm with other people, and I'm conditioned to believe that now I feel connected, and I'm happy, and I could just very easily be absolutely unconscious, right? Mm-hmm. Just in an ego story. And then ego flips to the other side of the duality, which it has to do, which is, oh my God, here I am with these other people. I'm supposed to love them. I'm not enjoying myself. I'm not enjoying them. What is the matter? What is the matter mm-hmm. with me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it just drags us back and forth across that ping pong table.
Yes. Well, and it's interesting also to, I'm talking because I'm trying to reboot my computer.
It's a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you, Sherry. It's interesting to me because in both cases that you're talking about, there is a place where it's identification that's the issue, that I'm not here is the reason I feel disconnected. And it's true, I might miss something like, for example, if I'm sick and I can't go for a walk, there's a way in which I might miss not being able to be outside, or I miss not being mm-hmm. in connection with people, but that doesn't mean mm-hmm. that I'm existentially lonely, right?
That's right.
That there's a distinction there. It's an interesting thing to observe.
Yes, it is very subtle and important.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It what I'm seeing on my screen, Sherry, is there are some people who are in the queue and I can unmute, and some people who seem to be asking a question but not in my queue. So let's see if I can pick somebody. Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Greta.
Hello, Greta.
Good morning. Well, I guess this is a thing of learning how to use the app. And when the only option I have version of the app is to ask a question.
That must be what's going on.
Since we're not.
Sorry, just interrupting for people mm-hmm. who are on the app, that asking a question does not allow me to unmute you. It's simply asking a question via chat, as opposed to being on audio.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, that's above my pay grade.
Well, I am on.
So.
Good. Let me research that and get back to folks. But Greta, you seem to be doing fine with the app because I can actually unmute you.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, well, just letting you know that was my only option. So, another beginning.
All right, well, here we are, by golly.
Yes, thank you. So good to talk to you. So grateful for starting this practice. And, I'm seeing, I just saw it this morning, and the content is a little bit different, but it's quite aligned with the way the assignment is structured, is just watching how much going to figuring it out. And, there's this fear of doing something wrong, doing it wrong, and yet the only place I go is to figuring it out. So I really have to just tighten down and squeeze down and look to all the ways that I could, get it right. And oh my gosh,
it's brutal.
It's
brutal.
It's brutal, it's producing, it's fear, fear for a young person to just you got to do it right.
I was just picturing her going from in this country usually kindergarten to first grade, right? Kindergarten, all you had to do mm-hmm. is not pee in your pants and cry a lot, right? And you were a success. And then you get to first grade, and wow, I mean, there seems to be right ways and wrong ways. And then people start saying things like, well, you know better. Just think about it. You know, and you're going, I don't. But you've been given the direction. Just think about it. Use your head. Figure it out is what it turns into for most conditioned people. And then ego has us. And it's awful because the other thing spiritually that we get to see about that is that trying to be right is the wrong thing. Mm. So all of the efforts to be right are just taking us down a path that's only going to lead us to suffering.
Yeah,
and
it's
all predicated on the belief, the assumption that how I am is wrong.
Well, it's interesting you say that because my issue in kindergartening, and I still remember it, is I just, you know, I was a jabberer. I would just talk. And so at nap time when you're supposed to lay your head on the table, I would just couldn't, you know, that energy in the body.
Yeah.
I could not keep myself from expressing it.
Right.
And, of course, that gets all tamped down, all that energy that wants to just come out.
Right. Because so what they didn't do is let you just go out and run around the playground, which would have been wonderful. Okay, everybody who wants to take a nap, lay your head down. The rest of you, come on, we're going outside. But no, that is not how conditioning works. You must be turned into the right person. And the way to do that is to control yourself until you do what you are supposed to do.
Yeah, so it's really good to see it now, this project I'm involved with. And it's just, okay, well, we're just going to see what happens. It's going to work out just fine no matter what. And so, you know, with the information I had, I went forward and ordered some supplies. And, okay, well, we're just going to find out what happens. And we'll work it out.
Right. That's right, because it's always been all right, it is all right, it will be all right. And what we're not going to do is listen to voices, parse it. Well, that was okay, but that's not okay, right? All we're really practicing is dropping the conversation in conditioned mind, going to the heart, going to what you want, which I'm going to project as a feeling of well-being. So go to that, get out of the conversation. Everything will be all right. Thank you, Greta.
Thank you so much, Gacho.
Thanks,
Gacho.
Greta. Sherry, two things were dropping in when you were talking about that. One is how much the conditioned way of processing is something like you said, you should have known better, or you've been given the direction, and it's always a reference to something that's not now, that I have to figure it out from, right?
Yes.
So knowing in the moment is being tuned to the information that's always available in the moment, and we lose that capacity because we're so trained to reference something that should have been, and that's why it requires us to figure it out. I'd never seen it, because it's not appropriate to the moment. It's not in the moment. It may not be relevant to the moment. And now I have to work through a process of knowledge parsing in order to find what's appropriate in the moment.
In the moment, which has already passed. And in the meantime, of course, I've missed moment while I've been up there agonizing.
And all the information there was that could assist me, you know? And that place of, and then concluding that I'm wrong because I'm not able to figure it out is that classic place of mushing two things that don't go together, right? Who I am and what I am has nothing to do with what I do.
Yes.
But within that processing world, it's synonymous. And so to really be present enough, especially with all the exercises that we're doing. How are we caused to suffer? What gets chosen? What gets sacrificed? Where's the self-hate? Is to bring awareness to that process of how we're taught to leave the moment and conclude that because we're out of step, we're wrong.
Yeah, and what we don't conclude is, wait a minute, all that stuff I was told, that's the problem.
Yes.
That was the problem then, and that's the problem now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we're so afraid. We're so trained to be afraid to just be how we are.
Mm-hmm.
We're terrified of that because that information came in so long ago that how you are is wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. This is Jen in Pennsylvania.
Well, hello, Jen.
Hello.
What are you seeing?
Well, first I'm just seeing I'm so grateful to you all for hanging in there with the technology. I just was so moved by, like, how heroic I feel like everyone is. So huge thank you for that. Oh, man.
Living in a world of a new world of technology, you understand the challenges and the patience and willingness required to stick with it, huh?
I do, yeah. I've had my own little microcosms of it, so I'm like, wow, yeah, this is really big, and I'm so grateful that, you know, everybody hangs in there and is doing so much stuff to get these calls, so wow. And, I was looking at the, all of these, but the one about the what if you get sacrificed when the karma is chosen. I've been looking at with beginnings, kind of what you just said, Sherry, you know, starting new projects and doing new things and seeing how the karma, it feels like, is so that, I am always wrong, I'm not doing it good enough, and that there is a like a right way or a best way or the way that would be the most beneficial, and somewhere out there, you know, someone else or something else knows it, and I don't, you know, is a big piece of it. And what gets sacrificed in that, I've been seeing more, is just everything that is available to come through this node of intelligence, like all the beautiful, you know, leaves and flowers that would come through her that are, you know, and then, there's so many expressions, and it's not, one isn't right or wrong, or, now I get tangled because I'm like, I mean, well, maybe there's a way that life informs, but yeah, anyway.
That's right. And because Jen, what it really comes down to is teaching us that this is what ego is attempting to teach us all the time, that you need to choose it over the intelligence animating you. That's the bottom line, right? So is there somebody who knows more about technology than I do? Almost everybody. All right?
Me too.
However, that has nothing to do with me leaving the intelligence animating this form in order to go with ego in some lame search, which never really turns into a search. It's just a conversation leading us into bad directions, right? So if we really are staying with the intelligence that animates us, then what we find is that intelligence provides for us everything that is for us, everything that is for our well-being, our peace, our joy. Okay? So those are the stakes, right? And part of that, because life is very, very specific in its intelligence. So I've happened to have, in this particular case, people like Ashwini and Bob, who are capable of doing the things that are not my bailiwick, Okay? They're not mm-hmm. my calling. And so if I went into a story of what's wrong with me and I need to know everything they know and have their abilities and their skills and their, you, then this life would be sacrificed. But if I stay with this life, then part of this life, what gets included in this life, is everything that is needed for this life to work beautifully and perfectly.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's what you said, just the choice to keep consulting it versus being here
yep.
in the perfection of
yep.
life and every single
yep.
node of intelligence and the support that can come when all the nodes of intelligence can each support with what they know about or whatever. Right?
That's exactly right. That's exactly
yeah.
right. And Jen, the thing about it is it's all we're really learning is don't listen to that garbage in conditioned mind. That's the bottom line of everything that we, at least from this perspective, because this is a spiritual practice. It is awareness practice, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really all that's going on. So I attempt to do something, and the voices start in. You are an idiot. You are incapable. You are inadequate. Why do you, you know, blah, 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 whatever they might want to try to do, right? And if I go with that, then I've left life. I've left the wisdom, love, and compassion that's animating me, and I am lost and hopeless.
Okay. Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
if on the other hand, I begin something, and I hear all of that stuff, and I say, huh, well, goodness gracious, well, that's a load of garbage. Interesting. I can see how that load of garbage has ruled my life in a lot of ways for a lot of time. Wow, really good to see that. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, because it's the keep the channel open quote that we have every now and then through those peace quotes and stuff of Martha Graham, I think, or something. But, yeah, it just clogs the channel, right? That ability, that whatever life wants to express or whatever, it can't come through.
That's right.
It's all clogged in that. Yeah. Yes.
That's exactly
yeah.
right. Yep. All right.
Wow.
Well, very
so
good.
Good.
Thank you
so
for that.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jen. And, Jerry, you know, the one addendum to that is that if it's for me, however it's coming through for me, it might be for how intelligence expresses, or it might be life saying, here's what I need to learn. It doesn't have to go well, but it's still for me to learn.
Oh, right.
You know?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Good point.
That brings us to the end of the show, and I promise to have some intel on why some people who are in the queue can't be unmuted tomorrow. And here's our assignment. What would you have to let go of? What would you have to give up, surrender, lose interest in for the karma not to be maintained? The obvious answer is ego, but what aspect of ego? Example, I would have to let go being someone who needs to know and be in control of her life experience. RL, what you see.
Oh, very good. All right. Well, thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry.
And thank you, everybody. Good
Take
Lord
care.
Willing. See you tomorrow.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.